Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We have some real issues that we're faced with in life day by day. Each of us, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, social, political, we all face issues. Some like to refer to them as problems or difficulties. I just simply call them issues. And as we face the issues, we need to be reminded that the only authority that we can go to is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 17, 17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, let me remind us, we need to do so based on the truth of the Word of God, and not based on an ideological position or denominational rites, rituals, rules, or regulation position, but simply what does the Word of God say? Today we're going to be talking about the feminist anarchist and the church. Subtitle, if you will, The Battle for the Bible. The Battle for the Bible. And in just a moment I'll do my monologue that will be elongated, but will get into the focus of the subject. But the subject in reality today is the Southern Baptist Convention, and it's now in the very throes of the final battle, I believe, for anything that's called a vestige of conservatism in that realm. It is a battle for the Bible. It's where the Calvinist and the liberal feminist anarchist are in a life's battle for the control of the convention. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's in the final struggle, the death struggle for the final vestige of anything that's called conservatism within the convention. Let me remind you, back in 1979, 80, and 81, there was a major battle for the Bible then, when multitudes of those in leadership in the convention disbelieved in the inspiration of the Scripture. And there was a battle for it. And the very ones then that were the stalwarts of the faith taking a stand against those that would pervert and destroy the infallibility and the inspiration of the Scripture are the very ones that are being dethroned today and attempt to destroy in order to bring on the onslaught of the Calvinist socialist agenda that I believe is permeating the convention today. And the main thing that we're seeing today in these last few days before the election, the election for the new president of the convention will be the 11th, 12th, 13th of June. And during the course of that battle, they've already been in the behind-the-scenes battle for over a year now. And who's going to be the leader of the convention? One of them being a man that is an avowed Calvinist, and the other being a man that's an avowed evangelical that is faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the witness of the Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just, by way of further introduction, ask the question, is it possible that in these last days that we're witnessing the death of the true church? You see, most of Europe today is secular. Only a minute, small percentage of Europe even claim to be Christian. European churches are being closed, and buildings are where the gospel at one time were preached with fervor and great power are now simply mosque, or pubs, or apartment buildings, or office buildings. And yes, I'm fully aware of the biblical truth that warns us that in the last days there would be a great falling away. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times come some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here that says European Christians no longer align with the Christian faith. They may call themselves Christians, but according to the Pew Research, describes them as non-practicing and found that they drifted away or were simply alienated by the gospel and stopped believing at all. They only rarely walk into the church doors on rare occasions, according to this article. Why am I using that illustration about Europe? Because what we see taking place in Europe today is where we will be in the near future in America. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, this is Dr. Youngblood, and you can dial 401-1413. 401-1413. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the feminist anarchist and the church and the battle for the Bible. And we're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. And there's been a lot of hoopla in the last several days and the last few weeks in particular, because it's building up to the crescendo of the convention, where there's been an ongoing hand-to-hand combat behind the scenes as to who's going to lead the convention. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the fact of the scripture talking about the last days, we're going to have the, if you please, the seared conscience and the sense of an apostasy, a falling away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At a time when there should be a fervor for the gospel, there's a cold callousness toward spiritual things. But ladies and gentlemen, the remnant of the church, the true church today, that little small group of believers that claim to know Jesus Christ, should be salt and light in a darkened, decaying, dying, demonic world. But the question is, how is it possible for the true church to survive with the false, phony, preachers that are in the pulpits today? And the spiritual leaders that are, saturated with the morals of society and the secular mindset that's destroying the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, these have permeated our churches. For example, the Sodomites have come in to permeate and to penetrate the household of faith, thus the moderating and the diluting of the truth of the Word of God. You see, it doesn't just, someone said many years ago that when there's a blowout on a tire on a car, it's usually not something that's all of a sudden, it's a slow leak. And we've been watching the slow leak, ladies and gentlemen, for the past several years in churches across denominational lines, where they've been allowing the society to come in, the culture to come in, and moderate and dictate what's happening within the bounds of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sodomites have come in, and as a result of that, the churches, denomination after denomination after denomination, are openly embracing the Sodomite lifestyle. They're simply watering down the truth of the Word of God, taking a penknife and cutting that part of the Scripture out that they disagree with and they disavow, and allowing the Word of God to not be the total truth of the Word of God, but is simply watered down, gobbledygook of Scripture. The Bible is clear. When it comes to biblical mandate for the truth, God's Word does not need to be changed, rewritten, or conformed with society, as the Pope has recently said. In fact, the Pope has said, as you know, that the Bible does not meet with modern culture, and it must be moderated, and it must be updated in order to be in compliance with cultural norms. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope's also said that hell doesn't exist and that God created the gays and they're created that way. He calls them gays. The Bible calls them sodomites. He says God created them that way. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand there's a mega major difference in what's being said and what is truth in the Word of God. The Scripture is very, very clear in the 1 Timothy text, in chapter 2, as to who should be the leadership in the leadership roles of our churches. The Scripture says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not, that is, allow not, a woman to teach. It's talking about didaskos, and that is talking about preaching from the pulpit, nor to usurp, that is, to bring about authority over the man, but it's to be in silence. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that do not like that, but the scripture goes on to say in the 13th verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, for Adam was first formed and then Eve, and it goes on to talk about it was Eve that was deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the whole crux of the matter. We're faced with today, what we're watching today, what we're seeing today for the Southern Baptist Convention is a group of about 1,700 feminist anarchists that's joining in the Me Too movement of secularized society, and they are trying to dethrone the one that has been the major leader in the past 30 or 40 years in bringing about conservatism within any portion of the Southern Baptist Convention. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at what the scripture says, we need to understand, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, very, very clearly stated in chapter 14, verse 34 and 35, let you women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but that they are commanded to be under the obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the context of that 1 Corinthians 14, it's talking about where the glossolalia, that is the gibberish, the unknown tongues, as some refer to it. But by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you find dialectos and glossolalia, the two Greek words, one meaning unintelligible gibberish, and the other talking about a language. So in the context of that, it says, dear ladies, please be silent in the church. Do not cause confusion in the body of Christ. That's the context. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about today is the fact that we have this uprising now within the convention being led by 1,700 signatories on a petition to remove Dr. Paige Patterson from his leadership role as president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. It is getting real difficult because on the outside, it seems as though all of a sudden, here's this major uprising, this major problem with a man of God that's taken a stand for the truth of the Word of God for about 40 years as his active role in the convention. But it's far deeper than that, ladies and gentlemen. There's a battle for the Bible. There's a battle for the truth of the Word of God. There's a battle by the feminist anarchists that are the part of the secularized Me Too movement that is within the convention that's trying to take control of the convention. And it's as a result of an avid Calvinist that is one of the candidates for the leadership role in the Southern Baptist Convention. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just boil it down and say, as we look at this, there's the real battle that's now taking place, the battle that's being fought in the convention. That's the battle over the authority of the Word of God. And today, these feminist anarchists in the church have determined that God's Word must be modified, or in some way, there must be a mitigation against it, or it must be ignored as relating to women in the church. You see, ladies and gentlemen, back in the late 70s, there was a major battle, and there was a battle over the inspiration and the authority of Scripture, because even at that time, there was a challenge as to whether or not all of the Word of God was true, and whether all of the Word of God was inspired, whether or not all of the Word of God was infallible, and it was the battle over the Bible then, and it's the battle over the Bible today. These feminist anarchists, mostly led by the false, fake, phony preacher Beth Moore, with over 1,700 feminists across America signing the document. By the way, the latest information today that I've read a couple of articles, they've determined that multitudes of these signatories on this petition are fake, phony, and false. Many of them are not even Southern Baptists. Many of them are not even females, but males. Many of them have had their names placed there that did not even know their names were there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Me Too demonic movement that's now penetrated the church and especially Southern Baptist Convention. This element has been found in many, if not in most, of the more liberal denominations that is now attacking and permeating the Southern Baptist Convention. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article, A Reckoning for the Southern Baptist and an Opportunity. This article says, faced with newly emboldened women speaking out about sexism and sexist attitudes about rape, stories of pain, trauma, and abuse in the denomination's institutions. Many Southern Baptist Convention insiders are timid in their responses and unwilling to call out their former president, Paige Patterson. That is the claim. Last week, Dr. Patterson, president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, was pushed aside following widespread criticism for counseling a wife to stay with her abusive husband and for making inappropriate remarks about women's appearances. Last week, he was fired outright after a North Carolina woman accused him of mishandling her allegations of being raped by a fellow student while Patterson was head of another seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, that was over 20 years ago. There was no police report filed. Police were not called. Charges were never filed. Claims were never levied. It's simply a part of the Me Too movement that's rearing its head in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, whether or not the rape ever occurred or not, I don't know. But I want us to understand, this article further says, Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, has called for a denomination to end its identification with the Republican Party and the religious right. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall? Can't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what the real essence and the gist of this battle is? It's a battle over the heart, soul, and mind of conservatism within the convention. There's only a little small vestige of conservatism left anyway. You see, a number of years ago, there's a group that was still, that's still under the umbrella of the Southern Baptist Convention called the Moderates, Moderate Baptist. And then just a few years ago, they formed another group called the Progressive Baptist, all of it under the umbrella of the Southern Baptist. It's filled with loose, likes, lost liberals that call themselves preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ that wouldn't recognize the truth and the integrity of the Word of God if it stood up and slapped them in the face. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're invited to call, participate in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking about the feminist anarchist in the church and the battle for the Bible within the Southern Baptist Convention. You can join in the dialogue and discussion. You can disagree with me if you like. You can add to or subtract from what we're talking about. You can do so by simply dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you right through to the studios and the microphone where we can have dialogue and discussion on this. You see, the Southern Baptist Convention present leadership is not conservative. They are not politically biblically sound. It's a battle for the Bible, a battle for the Word of God. This article continues to say, J.D. Greer, a candidate for the Southern Baptist Convention presidency, is the pastor of a mega church in North Carolina that does not even use the word Baptist in its name. He is a leader of the denomination's recent embrace of Calvinist theology and public witness. What is he saying there? It's a bifurcation of the truth. Calvinism is not for outstanding witness and soul winning. Because you see, under Calvinism, it says that you can't be saved. God's already done it. Some are going to hell and some are going to heaven, and you can't make a volitional decision yourself. Here's the real underlying issue. It is the attempt to for the liberals and the Calvinists to take control of the Southern Baptist Convention. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have an axe to grind in this race today. I recognized many years ago the liberality within the convention, made the determination that we didn't need to try to cooperate with those that disbelieve and disavow and dilute the Word of God. But I want us to understand there's a need today to recognize that within the convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, it is a major mega group of churches across the nation, around the world. And we're watching the battle for the Bible, and it's being led by the feminist anarchist that disbelieve what God's Word says in relationship to the man's role in the pulpit and the leadership role in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there's a great tumult that is set in motion and set in place today as a result of this feminist anarchist group linked with the Calvinist mindset that's wanting to control the convention and destroy the any little vestige of conservatism that may be left. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Paige Patterson fired by Southwestern and then stripped of his retirement benefits. A week after trustees voted to immediately shift Paige Patterson to president emeritus, the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Board of Executive Committee, has stripped the Southern Baptist Starwalk of all benefits and rights and privileges. Ladies and gentlemen, that's egregious. Here's the picture. Here's what the claims are. Here's the accusations. Back about 20 years ago, a dear lady at another seminary that he was president of in North Carolina made a claim that she had been raped. And as a result of it, and I'll read you the article in just a moment, as a result of some of the deeper aspects of that, Dr. Patterson suggested to her that she not report it to the police. Because here's the bottom line, and I've got it in the stacks of articles that I'll come across in just a moment. But the dear woman, lady, female, was in her dorm room with two men, and one of which supposedly raped her. And the rules and the regulations said that males were not to be in the female dorm rooms. And so as a result of that, this supposedly took place. And his concern, I'm sure, was on the basis of protecting the integrity of the dear female student also, as well as for the protection for the seminary. Here's an article that I believe that needs to be heard. Patterson's defenders decry unfair treatment with fake signatories. Most support is emerging for the president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, who's been criticized by many in his own denomination for statements he made about domestic abuse almost 20 years ago. One of the cases, for example, ladies and gentlemen, a dear lady came to him in his church and said that she had been abused by her husband. He said, pray for him that he might be saved. Pray for him and ask for God's guidance and wisdom. And he suggested that divorce is not biblical. And he's exactly right. He made the right judgment call in the council. But as a result of that, now he's being accused some 20 years later that he made the wrong decision in his counseling with the woman. But this is an article where Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, explains there is no tolerance toward physical abuse anywhere in the Bible, adding that God never asked a wife to endure physical abuse to keep a sick marriage alive. That being said, he offers, I think this is unfair what is being leveled against Dr. Paige Patterson, and I'm going to predict he's going to survive it. He further says, it's ridiculous, says Jeffers, to take sound bites from Patterson's past and accuse him of condoning physical abuse, especially since the seminary president has clarified that he does not condone abuse of women or children. The Dallas pastor contends that those hoping Patterson will be removed from the seminary are simply misdirected. And further, he says, I know the trustees at Southwestern Seminary, and he tells One News Now, and I sense there's a great level of support for Dr. Patterson, he said. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this is a demonic battle for the control of the seminary and the control of who makes the choices and decisions. Keep in mind, the convention is 1 week away, and this is a salvo that's being fired over the bow of the ship that says you have no conservative voice to be speaking at the convention. Therefore, the feminist anarchist and the Calvinist can take control. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this article further states, I do not think others perhaps are using this to further their own. I do think they're using this to further their own political, theological agenda. It is the battle for the control of the seminary. Dr. Jeffers says there's a battle going on right now for the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I couldn't have said it better. That is a dogmatic, declaratory statement of what is taking place. And here's one of the things that has saddened me so gravely. It is because there's an expression by those that is in leadership of the convention that somehow, some way, Dr. Patterson needs to be set aside because he was to be the keynote speaker to address the convention in less than a week from now, approximately a week from now. It is a sad thing to find that somehow, some way, the convention has become deteriorated to nothing, nothing more and nothing less than a political battle, just as you find with the presidential election on the national scale, the national scene, where there, the final few days, few weeks before the election, there's a major battle with all kinds of mud being slung and all kinds of accusations being made. And that's what we see taking place here because it is a true battle for the Bible. It is a demonic battle for the Bible being carried out with the feminist anarchist Me Too group that's permeated the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an article that says, and it sounds a little unusual on the face of the article, Dr. Paige Patterson will go too far this time? Will he go too far this time? And it's a former student of Dr. Patterson's of a number of years ago that's talking about how he witnessed Dr. Patterson's concern for those that are lost and concern for those that were battling against him. And a survey has gone out, and the survey is, what word best describes the treatment of Dr. Patterson over the comments almost 20 years ago? 28.82% said it's unbiblical. Calculated one says, 21.95%. In other words, it's an unbiblical, calculated ploy and plot and plan for the demonic control of the convention. And this man goes on to talk about how he had watched Dr. Patterson as he would pray for those that were despitefully using him, how he would pray for his enemies, how he would ask God to bless them and to bless the school and to bless the families and to bless the ministry and to preserve and protect the Word of God. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, this is a frightening, frightening thing to see taking place with the world's largest evangelical convention, the Southern Baptist Convention. And this article says, Southern Baptist women launch petition against Paige Patterson. And it says over 1,700 have signed the document. The fact that he has not fully repudiated his earlier counsel or apologized for the inappropriate words indicates that he must be removed. The letter comes from scores of Southern Baptist women, including many leaders such as Beth Moore. Beth Moore has been touting across the nation as the puppet, if you will, the mouthpiece for the Lifeway Publishing and the Broadman Holman Publishing arm, because they make mega millions of what she says. But it's her opinion, along with multitudes of other females within the convention, that the female ought to be able to be pastor, preacher, teacher, and not just the males. And they counter against and they mitigate against the truth of the Word of God. It is a sad ploy and plot that's being carried out today, ladies and gentlemen, for the destruction of the convention. May I remind us, Dr. Patterson, many years ago, in his stand for truth, was able to defend and ward off the demonic control of the convention. But ladies and gentlemen, I say that you need to call your convention leaders, call the Southern Baptist Convention, call the local Southern Baptist group, and ask them to please, please, please stop this battle and do not allow the feminist anarchist and the Calvinist to take control of the convention. It's a sad day when we talk about forgiving the brother, and yet within the hierarchy of the convention, there's animus and hatred and a demeaning attitude of destroying a man. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.